The shooting rampage 2 weeks ago in Chattanooga, Tennessee, at two U.S. military facilities left four Marines and one Navy sailor dead. The gunman, Mohammed Abdulaziz, attacked a recruiting office and a Navy Reserve Center before he himself was killed by local police. The Chattanooga incident is one of a series in recent years in which a lone assailant has committed a seemingly random act of violence. This event has prompted military units in Michigan to review their procedures for responding to such attacks. The Michigan National Guard is conducting active shooter training at its sites across the state. Current State's Kevin Lavery sat in on the inaugural session here in Lansing. He spoke with Sergeant First Class Sean Menard, the Guard's lead trainer. Menard says this is an update to the training Michigan soldiers already receive.
We had a policy in place, dates back to March, that we actually began working on late last year. In response to some of these types of events where the Adjutant General was concerned about the security of guardsmen, and we looked at the viability of allowing lawful CPL holders to carry their concealed weapons in the workplace to mitigate this very sort of thing. However, when we initially came up with the active shooter training, which was a mandate we got last spring in response to the second Fort Hood shooting, we didn't have a CPL policy in place at that time. So this is an update to that training that incorporates those considerations.
So that CPL component, concealed pistol license, that has prompted the Army to update or perhaps change in some way, maybe its training?
Well, not the Army so much. And here's one of the things that's a little bit different. So active Army still has a policy that prohibits that. However, as guardsmen, you know, we fall under a different set of regulations. We belong to the Adjutant General and to the Governor. And so at the state level, they can implement policies that are maybe, you know, going a little bit counter to what the federal government's doing with the active Army and the Army Reserve.
I caught some of your lecture a few minutes ago, and you used some very interesting terminology when you talked to the troops. For example, instead of using the word fleeing, you substitute the word maneuver. Instead of hiding, you refer to a strong point, finding a strong point. And instead of defending yourself, you're launching a counteroffensive. Certainly a soldier would be trained to think this way, but can this training be applied to civilians?
Well, that's a solid question. Because sometimes when it comes to firearms training, you know, some civilians say, well, it's not really appropriate for us to learn from a law enforcement officer or from military personnel because we have different rules of engagement. And that's certainly true. However, tactics are tactics. At the root, they're essentially the same. And what we're trying to do with our guys, since we already have this advantage of the assumption that they're going to have an understanding of certain doctrinal knowledge, we just need you to make a paradigm shift and apply what you understand about tactics to the office environment. Now, a civilian's going to have to obviously learn that base of knowledge, that fundamental understanding of tactics. But the concepts and the principles are pretty much universal.
Situational awareness is a term that the military uses pretty often. You used it during your presentation as well. Again, how can the everyday population, civilians, understand situational awareness?
I think it's a little harder for the average civilian. It would take a lot more work. I think soldiers tend to build the types of habits that help them maintain their situational awareness on a daily basis. It gets ingrained downrange, and I'm sure the same is true for law enforcement officers. You know, when you work in an environment where ostensibly people are going to attempt to kill you every single day that you get up and go to work, you get pretty good at paying attention to your surroundings. Civilians can do that. It just takes a little more work. You have to ingrain the habits. So, you know, it's really simple things. I mean, some people might say it's paranoid, but it's not. It's just building those habits. For example, when you get out of your car, just do a 360 sweep before you actually get out of the vehicle. You know, park your car in a place where you can maintain your situational awareness, where there is good lighting, and there are safe avenues of approach, and there are potential avenues of egress if you need them. When you pick where you're going to sit in a restaurant, just, you know, ask for a seat, or if you can seat yourself, where you can basically survey the room and keep track of who's going in and out, where the exits are at. It's just building a habit of being able to manage your surroundings and pay attention to what's going on around you.
But there's the balance, Sean. How do you build a life of awareness without creating for yourself a life of paranoia?
Because it's just paying attention. It's not paranoia. It's just, I don't know. I don't feel like I'm paranoid, but I feel like I'm pretty aware. You know, I don't think there's danger behind every corner. However, as a matter of habit, I tend to take corners wide and clear them before I round a corner. The same thing when I'm driving on the highway. I try to not get boxed in. I try to maintain my intervals and give myself reaction time. I don't think that's paranoid. I think it's just awareness of what I need in order to maximize my reaction time, and that's really all we're talking about with situational awareness.
We're talking with Sergeant First Class Sean Menard, who is the lead trainer for the Michigan National Guard's active shooter training. I understand there's something called a go bag that people can create for themselves. This sounds like basic emergency preparedness 101. Is that something that the rest of us civilians should be thinking about in terms of disaster response or traumatic incident response?
Sure. Well, I think the more people that are prepared when things go off the rails, the better. You know, the more hands that are there to help. And, you know, in these situations, what you have is what you brought with you. So yeah, it's not a big deal to keep a small bag in your car with some basic medical supplies. You know, it's not difficult to get training on how to apply something like a tourniquet or an occlusive dressing. And if you have that stuff on hand, then obviously you're able to assist in the area of providing immediate life-saving measures. As far as other stuff that goes in there, you know, you could take your go bag and put almost anything in it. Our active shooter go bags here are designed for use in the office environment, and it's just a simple kit of things that are going to directly contribute to our success in those situations. So there's, you know, door wedges to help secure a door, to barricade a position that we can defend. There's an impact weapon so that you have at least something to physically defend yourself with if it comes to that. There's all the tools for immediate life-saving measures, you know, tourniquets, hemostatic gauze, things like flashlights, and then restraints if you're able to subdue the attacker without having to kill them. We still need a way to restrain them, so there's some restraints in there as well. And that's what goes in our active shooter go bag, and we developed that with some recommendations from law enforcement.
We're talking with Sergeant First Class Sean Menard, who is the lead trainer for the Michigan National Guard's active shooter training. You obviously know these techniques very well. How did you become a trainer?
After my first deployment, I got done with college, and I'd been the primary trainer at my old unit, and I'd coached for years. I'd started a nonprofit boxing club in my hometown, was a martial arts instructor for several years. So I'd always had a training, teaching background, and it just kind of, when an opportunity to become a military trainer came up, I jumped on it. Since then, I've got to go to several instructor development schools, and, you know, of course, there's no substitute for experience. So during the time that I've been a trainer, I've had two breaks to go down range and actually do my job as a soldier. Of course, that, you know, maintains that sense of urgency. And even downrange, you know, I kind of always, as I'm experiencing things, I'm thinking, what are the lessons I'm learning from here? What can I, when I take back home and show the young soldiers that'll maybe make them a little bit safer and ensure they get home to the people that love them. And it's just, I feel like I've got the best job in the Army. I've been really fortunate to be able to do what I do, and it's been very rewarding. So. Even on days like today when I'm running on fumes, it's still pretty easy to get up for it just because it's a very fulfilling job.
Do you work for the Guard full-time?
I do, and I have for several years. I've been a full-time trainer for the Guard, like I said, with the exception of time off for two deployments for, I think, 9 years.
Sergeant First Class Sean Menard, the lead trainer for the active shooter training that is being conducted across the state of Michigan in various National Guard locations at the end of July and into August. Sean, thank you so much for talking. This is important training, and we appreciate the service that you and your fellow soldiers do for our state and for our country.
It's been the greatest job in the world, Kevin, and thanks.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.